start fighting at 2:11. So that we can, possibly can have enough time for the ceremony.
Our scripture reading of today is in Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 1. O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsel of all are faithfulness and truth. And may the Lord bless us as we praise his name with hymn number 27, 442, and 261. Let us start with number 27, and then Pastor will give some of the announcements as soon as we are on the air. Number 27 in our hymn books. In our praises to God, I encourage you to turn the hymn book to number 442. And just for the control room, this microphone should be about three or four lines up so that our tapes, when we produce the tapes, we don't have such a hard time to raise it up and deform the voice, okay? 442. Praise him, praise him. Today, our sermon is going to be on church membership, and a special sermon for Bethel Baptist Church, and I hope for members of other churches too, as they listen to these over the radio and the internet. Let's praise the Lord then, and number 442.
Yeah.
want to welcome you to Bethel Baptist Church this morning. And if you are a guest here in our house today, we'd like you to turn just the bulletin, one section of the bulletin, and give us your information that you have been with us so we can send a letter and greet you and thank you for being with us. If you are listening over the KKMC or perhaps on the internet across America and across the world, we'd love you to send us a note on P.O. Box 100, Morgan Hill, California, 95038. And I'm very sure on the screen right there, if you are in the internet, you see our church and you see our address. Our phone number, the area code is 408 here in California, and then 778 and 2595. We have another line, 2300, and the emergency line, 3900998. All of these phone numbers are on the screen, and you can see it, and you can call. And we thank the Lord for those who call from New Jersey, from Baltimore, and from Ohio that are listening to our broadcast, and they are delighting in the fact that we have classic hymns, and then that we have the old-fashioned preaching of the word, said one man, and I'm just delighted with those comments. For our church here at Bethel, there is in the bulletin enough material. Today was a missionary turnout. In other words, there was a day where, I don't know if you remember the box. We remember with Raquel, but we had to turn the box with a gift for our missionaries. This is a special gift that we do every year for our missionaries. There is a beautiful letter from the Perez family and also from the Knotts family in northern Spain. And I tell you, they are heading on for good snow at 10 below there in northern Spain on the big mountains. And the church happening, the paper here, broadcast tomorrow at 13, November the 13th, 7 p.m., the ladies' Bible study. And every man should send your wife here because we have a great book to study, a book in how the ladies can be a wonderful wife. And I tell you, it's a remarkable book, and it's an encouraging book for the life of the home. Wednesday night, the prayer meeting. And, you know, people of God, at this time in America, where there is a very serious crisis, not so much politically or financially, but spiritually. What we have today is not a political crisis, it's a spiritual crisis. So we'll be fine for you to come and pray. Second Chronicles said that if we humble ourselves and turn from the evil way and pray, God is able to forgive our sin and heal our land. And that's what we need, healing of the land. And no, it's not going to happen by the people in power. It's going to happen by the church. And the chaos of America, I keep saying, is not the political and not the Constitution. It is the church. The church is gone and no longer see the responsibility. May I encourage you to come and pray because we are in real chaos. On Friday, Los Amigos prayer meeting was full last Friday. And if you're in town here by 12 noon, no lunch, no nothing provided for you except that you come and pray together. If that happened, that you were here in the area and you are in town, we enjoy. At least we were six people praying. It's just fantastic to feel the warm of the Spirit of God. Next Sunday will be the regular service. And we want to remind you that December 17th, in the evening service, we will have the Christmas cantata. And that's a feast in itself to praise the Lord Jesus, our mighty and wonderful Savior. Once again, I want to thank you for providing for this church. You cannot believe the amount of pastors that called me and said, how do you collect money from the people? You know, because they see me in conference and I'm the one who take the offering. But people do not give money because I'm a good-looking person. People support the ministry of Family Radio or the ministry of Bethel Baptist Church because we teach the Word of God, period. And I encourage all the pastors in America to go back to the Word of God, go back to the old King James Bible, and go back to the old-fashioned style, and you will see God working in the midst of your people. And make the church simple. Don't make a corporation. Make a church simple with Christ as the focus of attention. Let us stand then as we praise the Lord with number 261. Trust and obey. That's what actually we need in our life. Pray together. Father, this is the hour in which we meet to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray, oh Father, that as we continue in this worship service, the person of Christ, the work of Christ, and the ministry of thy word be exalted. We pray for those who are suffering through physical illness, that you may restore them. You may empower their life knowing that you are the creator. And Father, I have received a phone call this morning, left in our office, that my good friend, Raymond Jacobson, in northern New York, is in a very bad shape with a heart arrest. And so, Father, I pray for this father of a great missionary that I get to know in New York. And I pray that the family, the missionary,
they're all around their bed, that they will have the comfort and the peace of God in this very special moment. I also thankful, Father, that my good friend Tom in New York also have already the surgery and is in the state of recovery after the drama that almost he passed away. So, Father, thank you for your hand of mercy and your assistance in those people who suffer. And here in church, Father, we are grateful. And we pray for Nobuko that you may strengthen her life and that you may work through the doctors and through medicine to get her well and stable. And Father, we are grateful for Betty Tarp and for her stay and strength at this very difficult moment of her life. Nevertheless, what a joyful example to all of us she is. And thee, she's an encouragement to me and to many because she have a stable mind and a stable heart in you. Thank you, Father, for those believers that you have raised to give us an example of what Christ really is. And now, Father, as we praise you through the choir and read the scripture, we pray, O God, that this be a very important part of our life because we cannot serve you unless we learn to praise you. And so, Father, thank you again that we have a choir. Thank you for those who dedicate their life to train themselves and to put time so that we can have a very formal and a very praiseworthy service for you, our Lord, our Savior, the one who cares for our life. Thank you, Lord, for because you care for all the details of our life, according to Matthew 6, even the hair is counted in our head. And so, Father, we are not afraid of the future here in America. Well, what really my heart is afraid is that Christianity is going indifferent to the situation of our country. And, Father, we do not have a political crisis. We have a spiritual crisis. We have people who have not the Spirit of God and who are racing for power, and therefore they are demonstrating their spirit as they deal with difficult situations. And so, Father, we pray that the believers may wake up, and they may see that they can lose their nation if they do not return to the Lord with faithfulness and with love. There are many thousands of people called Christians, Lord, and I wonder if they are, because they take Christianity very lightly. Oh God, help the church of the living God so in thee, Father, they can clean the high places in the church and serve the living God with purity. Help our church to do as well. And now, Father, we have missionaries across the world. And Brother Knott and Brother Perez are serving in Spain. And they have sent us a good report. I thank you, Father, for that report. And I thank you that your hand of mercy is on their life. And Lord, last night, unexpectedly, Pastor Mendoza called me with a broken heart and with a wonderful expressions that he cannot remain silent because I was too much a friend to him. And for a year we have no talk. And then he started talking and revealing to me sometimes the weakness of our heart. And we embrace in prayer, Lord, how wonderful it is to know a man coming back to the place of God. And so, Father, bless him as he is want to provide 200,000 New Testaments for the city of Managua. Give him a good relationship with his wife, Raema, who now is in contact with him and is in the process very soon of heading on the ministry together. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God of second chance. A God who give us opportunity to serve. And thank you for servants who after a while, they humble themselves because you lift up the humble people. And so help us, oh God, in some way, somewhere, to understand sometimes our own life and to thank you for the opportunities you gave us to serve. Now bless the offering, bless the giver, bless our church with all your power. In Jesus we pray, amen. My friends, this is Pastor Otero speaking to you from back to the church, actually, because the offertory is taking place. I want to say once again to you I'm grateful that you are listening. I'm grateful that you enjoy the ministry of Bethel Baptist Church. I'm grateful for those in the internet. I'm grateful for those in the computer ministry. I'm grateful for those who are listening to KKMC directly. And I thank the Lord that have provided means to reach your home. I'm thankful for those who receive the tape and they listen and they pray for us. And I'm thankful for those who watch our service via television. Thank you, Lord. I thank the Lord for all these ministries that we have in our church. I want to tell you again, our church is open Sunday the whole day from 9 o'clock in the morning to 9 p.m. in the evening. And we have one service every 2 hours. May God bless you and make your way, if you are close to here in California, to our church. Make your way, sit down in one of our services and one of our Bible studies, and you will feel the presence of God, because our people are lovely people. May God bless you. May God care for you. And if you have a need, remember, 408-778-2595. You are just one phone call away from us. Now let us join the service in progress.
Yeah. Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 1 and verses 41 through 47. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 801. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Acts 2, starting with verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Holy Father, we thank you that you have reconciled us to yourself, and we can come to you in worship and prayer because of the merits of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We confess that we cannot meet the perfect standard your holiness demands, and we are eternally grateful that you have justified us for the sake of your Son, who bore our sins in his body. We thank you that you are still building your church and that you have chosen to allow us to participate in this great task. We pray that by the Holy Spirit's power, we will be unified in obedience to your word. We pray now for your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, that you would bless the words that he is about to speak, that as he explains the scriptures, you will give us understanding and empower us to apply that teaching to our lives. We pray for any listening who are unsaved, that they would believe and repent and understand that the only way to you is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name, amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother. And just for the crew in the control room, I will ask you to silence that phone and the pulpit so that I can take it out and doesn't produce a shot. Thank you. I want to speak to you today about an issue that touch all of us here at Bethel Baptist Church. I want to talk to you about what should it mean to be a church member, and especially to those who recently were baptized. This will be an ideal meditation so that you know what to do as a church member. What should it mean to be a church member? And I want to talk to you as your pastor for with the scripture, the counsel from the scripture, because in America we lost the perspective of a real church membership. I want to use some political thoughts as a parallel thought to church membership. The sermon is not political. I will never preach a political sermon, even though I desire with all my heart. But I will never use this pulpit other than for Jesus Christ as Lord of our life. But when a nation has a segment of its citizens that want to live off of the government, that nation is destined to failure according to the scripture. Now why? Because when other citizens see this happening in their nation, they want to join the crowd. And when more and more of the citizens begin to think that they can live off of the government, it is only, my friend, a matter of time before that nation bites the dust in the whole world. Common sense shows us that such a nation cannot exist
And the proof is communism was completely exhausted and bankrupted after 70 years of ruling. For example, have you ever been involved in one of those get-rich-quick deals? They call you on the phone and say, you can be rich if you follow my instruction. It sounds so exciting. See, they tell you this. You can get rich in a very short time. All you have to do is put forth just a little effort and get someone to sign up under you. Have you heard that? And that person, they said, put forth a little effort and get somebody to sign under them. And the process repeats over and over again, and you, my friend, get rich. Have you ever heard that? They called me two or three times to get in that kind of, they call it a pyramid, that you can do that. It's amazing. Now listen, it does not take a rocket science to figure out things out for these things. If all these people are going to be millionaires in a short time, where is all the money to make all the people and make all the pyramid rich? Where are these money coming from? Somebody has to work. That's the answer. Somebody has to work. And if they are going to be millionaires, someone has to work a lot in order to be a millionaire. Also, when a nation develops the idea that the citizens do not have to work, who is going to feed all the lazy people, I thought. You don't have to work anymore. You can live off the government. Who's going to feed them? There are many people in America, many people in America who think this way and make me mad. And this crowd is growing every day. You listen when I come here on Monday morning on the phone, more than 30, 40 calls for food, for payments of rent, for payments of a school, all the people calling. They want somebody else to pay their bills. Now, I asked myself, the other day when I punched the phone and listened, 15 calls asking for money, I say to myself, how did we as a nation get this way? How did we as a nation get so bad? We have politicians who know the only way they can stay in power is to give away everything they can give away. That's why we get in this way. We have politicians today who ran just a few weeks ago, and they say, if you elect me, we, the government, will pay your medication bills. I don't want the government to pay my bills. If you elect me, we pay your college bill. I pay my college bill for my girl from grammar school all the way to the end, to medical school. I don't want the government ever to give me a penny. If you vote me, we pay your child their care. If you vote me, we pay your child's lunch at the school. Now look, this is getting bad. They promise to do all these things and not even raise our taxes. That made me laugh. Give me a break, my fellow. The money for these things has to come from somewhere. Remember John Fitzgerald Kennedy? He challenged the country and he said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Why did he make such a statement to the nation, I asked myself? Because he was trying to appeal to the good men of this nation. He knew that a country cannot survive with people who will not work but want a hand out. He knew that a country cannot survive. And John Fitzgerald Kennedy said the right word. Now, finish with politician. Let's go to church membership. I'm going to bring that example into church membership. When a church is filled with members, that believe that a church can survive without workers, that church also is destined to failure. We Christians need to be motivated to work and to contribute something to the Lord's church. Christians should have the philosophy as not what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your church. That should be the philosophy of the Christian people. But it is sad to say we are raising a generation who are saying, as not what I can do for my church, but what can my church do for me? That's the kind of generation we are raising. We are raising a generation of people today who believe they should go to church because of what they can receive. And I know that because I am on the phone. I have no secretary. And in one sense, thank God, I'm on the phone. And I'm listening to people trying to come to our church. We can see that so clearly as I hear people comment why they go to church. And I tell you some of the things they said. I am going to this church over here because they have a nice gymnasium where I can dump my children after school and I leave them over there. That's why they go to church. I am going to this church because they have a lot of social gatherings, and I'm a social person, and I like to attend social gatherings. Somebody told me that. Unbelievable. I am going to this church because they have a softball team, and I like to play softball. That's what somebody said. Did you have a softball team? So I don't know what a softball team is, sir. He said, well, you know, softball. What is that softball? If a softball is no good, they have to be well inflated. He said, no, you don't understand. So I play soccer. You don't play softball. You play with a hardball. They hang up. Somebody said, I'm going to this church because they offer me prestige. The stained glasses, the top. That's all these things people are saying. It's unbelievable. We are raising a generation of people who are going to church for the wrong reason. They are going to church for the wrong reason. We ought to be concerned about what a church has to offer our families, yes. But also we should be equally concerned about what we have to offer to the church. That is why we need to be concerned. So let us look at the New Testament church. They had a tremendous result. And one day, 3,000 people were enrolled in the church. 2 chapters after, 5,000 people. 2 chapters after, 4,000 people. That was a successful church. And let's see what they did in order to be powerful. All right? There are many things that made this church great. I believe that. But there are three things that stands out above the others in the scripture that our brother Plicker read for us right there in Acts chapter 2. They are their interests, is number one, their interests. Number two, their involvement. And number three, their intensity. There were three things that really were there. As you read those verses, verse 1 and then verse 41 to 47 in Acts chapter 2, you see these three things pump up. Their interest, their involvement, and their intensity. And I believe if we as a church follow the pattern of the scripture, we too are going to be successful according to God's standard. So let's start. Their interest, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And, said the scripture in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Hear me right. I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm giving you God's opinion. And that should settle. I know in America today it's impossible. The Constitution said you recount once the votes. The politician said, recount the votes until I win. You know, I know we are living in that kind of era. But I tell you, it's not with the Word of God. The Word of God is absolute. President Clinton, in the dissertation to the soldiers, he said, we will have a president. We have elected. Now the Constitution has to understand who we have elected. No, that's not right. That's not right. We have a kind of people that twist the things around. But when it comes to preaching, I die for this. Whatever the Scripture said is what we shall do. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day was fully come, 40 days after the resurrection, they were all in one accord. And they were all in one place. Now let me give you a parallel idea. When we can ride by a football stadium on the day a football game is being played and see a crowd of 70 or maybe 80,000 people who assemble in the stadium, let us ask the question, what brought all these people together? The answer is obvious, football. They are interested in football. That's why they went to the stadium. The same goes on by the church. What brings people to the church? They all have to be interested in wanting to worship and serve the Lord. That's why you come to church. You don't come to church because we have a softball stadium. You don't come to church because we have a tennis court in the backyard. You come to church because you want to worship God and you want to serve God. All right? Do you know that worship precedes service? Put one hand in right there in where you are in Acts 2, and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. Always worship precedes service. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, we have a pattern in what happened in the involvement of church membership. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 1, 9, for they themselves showed of us what manner of entering we have unto you, and how ye turn from idols to serve the living and true God. You turn from worshiping idols, and then you then serve the living and true God. When we were not Christians, we worship idols. Sometimes for some people, idols was a sport. That was number one for me. Sport. Soccer was everything. I remember telling Raquel with the soccer ball signed by the other players when we win something, soccer is everything. And she threw the ball away. No, that ball is $1 million. It's signed by everybody. And the Bible says when you become saved by God, when God really touched your heart, when God really changed, when the Holy Spirit of God shows that you are a sinner, but at the same time that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and when the Holy Spirit causes you to believe, then and only then you chain and worship God and let the idols away. For some people, idol is working, making money. And so they have to work on Sunday because they pay double. They need that money. That's the idol. When you are saved, the Bible said right here clearly, they turn to God from idols. When you are saved, you know, because you don't want the mess you were before. You are now in the hands of the living God. And then you serve the Lord. Paul is addressing the fact that these Christians once worship idols. Now they have turned from worship of idols to worship God. That's what it is. But notice, they no longer serve these dumb idols. They now serve the living and true God. That's what I tell the Roman Catholics. Why you serve these dumb idols on the world and do not worship the true and living God? That sounds cruel, but that's what it is. If you're really converted, you are not a Roman Apostolic Catholic. You are a child of God. That's what the Scripture says. Because they worship idols, and we don't. See, God greatly used the New Testament church. Why? The Bible says they were all in one accord. That's why they God used it. And in one place. Do you know this? They were all in one accord. Nobody did whatever they want to.
Whatever they did it through the oneness of one person. And they all did the same thing. And they all made it in one place. This is exactly what happened in the New Testament church. They were all in one accord in one place. Why? God was their interest. That's why you are here this morning. Because God is your interest. When you are a member of the church, you worship the Lord in the church at the place the church is located. That is a scriptural. Not only must members have their interests, but also they need to get involved. So let's talk about their involvement. Church members not only have to be interested in the church, they need to be involved. Now, the word member, a member of the church, means a constituent part of a whole in the dictionary. Now, the Apostle Paul does better job of defining what it means to be a member of the church. He refers to church members as members of the body of Christ. You remember? Now, we all can relate to that because we all have bodies that have many, many members. So I want to ask you one thing just to see the importance of our involvement, how you need to be involved. You cannot be indifferent if you are a member of the body of Christ here at Bethel. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians in chapter 12 and see the definitions of the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, verses 12 to 14. You will see there the definition of the Apostle Paul for a member and how the Apostle Paul compare our body with the church membership. We read in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12 and in verse 12, "For as the body is one and had many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ," he said. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body," means placed into the body, "whether we be Jew or Gentile," so we are not Jew people or Gentile people, we're only one, "whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. The body of Bethel Baptist Church is you, all of you." It's not the pastor, it's the pastor and the membership and the parts of that body, all of you. And you know, and he goes on to illustrate in the scripture to show us how the body of Christ is involved working together. Let me continue reading in verse 15. Same chapter, verse 15. We read, "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing?" Imagine me speaking to an eye right there on the pew. The apostle is really funny. "If the whole were hearing, where the smelling? But now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it had pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary." Now notice in verse 18. "But now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." No member of this church can do anything independent of the body. Because you are part of the body. Imagine if I'm walking and my right leg said, "No, you go this way." I'd be like this. That's what happened when in a church somebody do something without the authority and the involvement of the body. It's important that you understand this. If you're a member of the body, you work with the body. God did not ask any of us which part of the part of Christ we want to be. You notice that? God did not ask any of us which part of the part of Christ we want to be. God set us in the body where He wants us to be. He placed every one of us in the body so that we can be involved and learn to function as the body of Christ. You have to learn to function as the body of Christ, because that's the system that God has created. Now, let me give you an example. Have you ever look at a small baby? As a pastor, I have the privilege sometimes, they call me, the baby is born, and I go over there, and it looks like a dumb thing. It's just a little piece of a body, and over there like this, with a hand like this, and they do nothing. Have you ever seen a little baby? They do nothing. But that baby have all their members, is that right? The baby has all their members, but many of their members, they have never discovered what they are put there for. And so the baby is just like that. For example, when a baby is born, they lay there in the back. And all of a sudden, they start to exercise some muscles in their little body. And their hands start moving. Wow. Soon their hand starts moving so much that it pops up and they can see it. Wow. Once they discover those things, they discover something else, their mouth. Everything they can get their little hands on goes to their mouth. Do you notice that? Then one day they are laying on the floor and they discover they have legs. And then they start to move them, and soon they use them to crawl along, and eventually they walk, and now you got trouble. The church today is at a spiritual infancy level. It's just like babes. God has set the members in the body of Christ, but most of the members do not have the slightest idea what God placed them here for. Once all the members become involved and begin doing what God has called them to do, God's church is going to see some marvelous things happen. Church membership means involvement. I laugh when people said, our church has 7 pastors and 50 staff. And I said, what happened to your members? I said, well, we're a large church. Well, how large is your church? 3,000 members. What happened to your members? He said, well, they are members of the church. And why they are not working? Well, so they work in their works. Yeah, but why are not working in the church? He said, what do you mean? I mean, that's not the design of the church. The church is not a corporation. The church is a place where we, the members, work. Church membership means involvement. The New Testament church were involved. Look in Acts now 2:44. Look at what the Bible said in Acts 2:44. And all that believe, were together and had all things in common. All that believe were together and have all things in common. They were participating. Move your Bible to Acts 4, verse 31 to 33. Look at what the Bible says. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that out of the things which he possessed was his own, but all things in common, and with great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, why the pastors had that power? Why the pastors had that ability to preach the word and the word convict people? Because the members of the church were one and we're all together. We need to be together. We can go through the book of Acts, and the words we see time and time again is the word all. all. They were all in one accord, Acts 2:1. They were all in one place, Acts 2:1. They were all under their pastor, Acts 2:42. They were all in prayer at the same place, Acts 2:42 and 46. They were all seeing the power of God and the salvation of God, Acts 2:47. Each member knew how to work together as the body of Christ. You know, one of the harder things to do is to learn to work together. If you're a manager in an office, you know that. Trying to get everybody coordinated. Somebody asked me, what is management? Management is the art of getting the job done by other people. Not by you, but by other people. And so you need to have the ability of everybody and put them together. And that's why in primary school of the Bible, over and over, I have a staff meeting, we call it, where I got Christine telling me all the things that need to be done, and I ask him suggestions and I do the suggestions, and once we all click together, then we move on. And that's how five people can manage 52,000 students. Amazing. The early church has something else. Not only they have the same interests and the same involvement, but they did things with intensity. What does it mean to work with intensity? Let me refresh your memory. Apollos, said the Bible, was a man that did things with intensity. You can look that in Acts 18 and in verse 25. Acts 18 and verse 25. The Bible said about Apollos in Acts 18:25, this man was instructed in the ways of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently. Diligently means with intensity. Here is the Greek word zeo, with zip, we say today. That man has zip, that's the word zeo, intensity. He taught with intensity the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He only knew part of the scripture, but whatever he did, he taught with a zip. This is the word of God. When Apollos preached the word, he did it being fervent in the spirit. The word fervent is the Greek word zeo, akribos, excuse me, which means he did it exactly, perfectly. He was convinced that what he was teaching was the truth, and so he did it with all his might and power. All church members, we should, as church members, we should do things fervently and diligently. That means with a glow. With a glow, oh man, with a glow, and with perfection, according to a scripture. Use your life for the Lord, will you? Use your life for the Lord. You are a member of the body. Use your life for the Lord. The New Testament church was a very successful church. May the Lord help us here at Bethel Baptist Church to be such a church. Doesn't mean that we have to have 3,000 or 5,000 or 50 people. We need to be together. And we need to do things together, and we need to get involved. But again, look at the kind of members they have in that church. It was a church where you can see they have one oneness of interest. The church has a meeting, everybody was in the meeting. And the church has involvement. There is something to do, somebody with a gift did it. And they did it with intensity, not when they can, but with intensity. I will not surrender to anything else. This is the New Testament church. Business church, no way. This is the New Testament church. The New Testament church have no employees, but have a pastor. And they have members. And the members with their ability carry the Lord work of the church. I will not surrender to anything else. And I want to prove that the scripture is right. How do I know? Look in 1 Corinthians 1:10. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, we have these gorgeous and marvelous words. Paul said to the church, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Do you got it? We need to work together. We need to do things together. We need to do things not here and there, but we need to do things that refresh the body and brings the body in unity and in intensity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, create in your people a heart that is open to your counsel, so that we may glorify the name of God as a church body. And when all is done, we will be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Saved of the Lord, how beautiful the feet that walked the long dusty road and the heel to the cross, how serve the wine and the bread.
close our morning service. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord. And as we listen to the word of God, I pray that each one of us may judge ourselves and may have a soft and humble heart to turn into the body of Christ for service. It is my hope, Father, that after these many will say, what can we do in the body of Christ? And be involved with intensity so that we fulfill the church purpose. Thank you, Lord, that the church is not a business institution. Thank you, Lord, that the church is not an entertainment institution. It's a place where we worship God and serve God. Oh, Father, cause us to serve together with one mind and one place and one accord. And we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.